We are celebrating today the Feast of the Presentation, and it developed in the liturgical year in the desire to keep track of the major events in Jesus' life and to celebrate them. And so 40 days after Christmas, Jesus, 40 days after his birth, he's presented in the temple, and it's 40 days after Christmas. Actually, yesterday was 40 days after Christmas. And so this is where the keeping of this feast at this time comes from. But it is also one of those liturgical spots in the year where a variety of practices have clustered or accrued over time. So this day became a day when, in recognition of Christ as the light of the world, churches would bless the candles they're going to use for the year, remembering Christ as the light. And then it also became the practice, long before there were printed calendars, to use this occasion to proclaim the date of Easter and to let people know what the shape of the liturgical year was going to be. And we'll do that too today in just a little while. In each of these instances, what I notice about this day is this tendency not just to think about today as Christ, the light of the world, but to think about the whole liturgical year. To proclaim the date of Easter and to think about not just today, but the shape of the whole liturgical year. There is this tendency on this feast day to push towards a bigger picture, to stretch beyond just the moment to a bigger picture. And I think that too is related to the image of Christ as the light. You see, enlightenment is when the light comes to us. Another name for that is revelation. And revelation always entails, enlightenment always entails seeing stuff that's there that we normally don't see. Revelation opens our eyes to more than we normally see. Now, what I find really, really interesting is that in the history of the world's religions, a lot of religions have come up with ways to enact this idea of revelation. So if you go to India, there are caves in India, and you walk into the cave, and it's dark in a cave, of course, and it takes your eyes a little time to adjust to the change in light level, and when your eyes finally adjust to the light in the cave, you realize that on the wall of the cave facing you is a carving of the face of a deity. So you walk into the cave, and you don't see, and then all of a sudden you see. And there's the face of a deity. In Tibetan Buddhist monastic rituals, the monks put on hats with faces of deities and all kinds of other stuff, and they go into the temple hall and they chant, and they chant and they chant and they chant, and they get totally into the sound, into their ears, and then all of a sudden the abbot passes a mirror down the row, and all the monks take and they look in the mirror and make that dramatic switch from ear to eye and suddenly see themselves decked out like a bodhisattva. That's enacting the idea of revelation. In Zen Buddhism, the Zen master will put people into a room that is all closed off by shoji screens. So you're sitting in a room, it's all just sort of the white and black of the shoji screen, and you're sitting there and you're meditating, and in Zen you don't close your eyes when you meditate, And after you've been in there and you've gone inward and you've meditated for a long time, the Zen master comes in and he slides open one of the shoji screens, and outside of it there is a garden in full bloom with all kinds of color. And so all of a sudden, all of that scent and sight of the garden hits you and opens your heart and your mind. That's enacting revelation. That's enacting enlightenment. The idea that Christ is the light is the same thing. Christ comes in as the light and brightens up our life and brightens up our room and brightens up our world, and suddenly we see more than was there. So that Christ the light comes into the world, and we don't just think of him as the light today, but we bless the candles for the whole year. And it's interesting to me too. I talk to people all the time, people who are religious, people who are part of a tradition, part of a community, and people who are not, who say, well, I'm spiritual but not religious. And for all of those different types of people, lighting a candle is a spiritual act. Everyone seems to feel that. Because when you take a candle into a dark room, it expands your ability to see. It expands your vision. That's what it means to say Christ is the light of the world. In the gospel stories that we heard today, one of the things that it's helpful to think about is that at Christmas, the insiders get to experience who Christ is, right? The people who've been involved in this thing. So Mary and the angels and the shepherds and Joseph, and these folks have been in this, you know, from the get-go. Zechariah, they're all in this from the get-go, and they encounter it from the get-go. So they're kind of the insiders. And then today, they go to the temple, and people who are the religious officials experience Christ the light coming to them. So the outsiders get brought into the picture as well. The picture expands. There are some scholars who speculate, and it makes some sense to me, that Simeon was actually a priest, and that he was in the temple, but it wasn't his day to serve. But he was there because the Spirit had told him he would see the Messiah. And if that's the case, and Anna is a prophet and Simeon is a priest, you get the priests and the prophets being brought into the story of Jesus, the light of the world. It's an expansion, like what happens when you bring a candle into a dark room. And it's interesting, too, to notice the opposites, right? There's the obvious male and female, but there's also this marvelous sense, Simeon is waiting for a good thing, the consolation of Israel. So he's very happy about this. And yet he also talks about how Jesus is going to be a stumbling block for so many, and a sword is going to pierce Mary's heart also. The light shines on what's so, all of it. And so we start with Simeon looking for consolation and then naming the challenges as the light comes in and the vision expands. And by contrast, Anna has spent all her time in fasting and prayer, which is what you do in first century Israel in an act of repentance and in an act of mourning. And she's worried about how things are. She is concerned that things are bad, that news is bad. And then the light The Christ comes to the temple. The light comes into the darkened room, and she is able to rejoice. Again, you see the image expand. That's what today is all about. When Christ the light comes into our life, what we can see grows. Most of the time, we limit our focus. And that's a good thing. You do that to get along in the world. You know, I don't want you staring all around at the scenery. I want you looking at the traffic and the lights when you're driving. You're supposed to focus then. When you're balancing your checkbook and making out your check to the church, I want you paying attention to the math. You're supposed to focus then. But spirituality is also about taking time to see a bigger picture. To let the light come in and expand your perception. So that as you experience Christ the light, you know that good things and bad things and all kinds of things happen in life. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. And you exist in the love that flows between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's the big picture truth that Christ the light comes to show us. And so today is a day to think about those big pictures, to expand our perception, to let Christ the light illumine our minds and our hearts. Because he is the light of the world. And he comes to enlighten and brighten you.